Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the OIG Roundtable. Got the full team back here. Wade had his little time off. Matt had his little time off. I actually sat in a room and talked to myself for a half an hour the other day just because I felt like neither one of them were here. But and that's also because my medication was apparently not taking effect. So I got Wade McFall, or McFowl, whatever you want to call him. Retired assistant special agent in charge from the OIG's LA field office and now manager on our SA investigative team. And of course, Matt Kachansky, retired special agent in charge from the OIG, the retired Northeast UPIC director, and currently our payment integrity senior director. And I didn't get the memo that today was plaid flannel shirt day, but that's okay. Maybe next week. Thanks for letting me know. You guys stink. Anyway, so we want to talk a little bit about, we've been talking a lot about technology. We've been talking a lot about data analytics. For those of you that have tuned into some of our recent LinkedIn Lives, you've seen that Dan Olson and I have had a number of conversations about data analytics and that. And we want to just kind of close the loop, I think, to an extent on that and kind of wrap it up with two sides of the coin, the yin and yang of data analytics, and that's really the platforms. And I know we've talked a lot about the platforms, and for those of you who have been at recent conferences, for example, NAMPI, for those of you that are going to be going to the NHCAA, you will see that in the vendor area, there's a very heavy concentration of data analytics vendors. There are a number of them out there. And it just seems like they keep growing and growing each time we go to these conferences. And each one has their nuances, and we're not here to talk about the ones we like or don't like. We've done vetting of a lot of them. We have some lists of the pros and cons, but there's two buckets. The ones that you see at the conferences are proprietary, right? Firms that come together, they develop a tool, they develop a platform, they build it out, they sell and they market it. Very heavy cost investment for those. There's a very heavy cost to getting them going, right? Initial developers, all of that. And then you've got your proprietary, and then you have your common off-the-shelf, or CODIS, as sometimes it's called. And those are just your off-the-shelf data analytic tools. One very common one, and I'm not going to call it necessarily an analytic tool, but it falls in that category, is part of the Microsoft Office suite, right? Excel or Power BI, and then you have a number of other commonly off-the-shelf tools that are out there, and a lot of them are much cheaper in cost than the proprietary tools. The big difference is that the proprietary tools have a lot of features, bells and whistles, and the common off-the-shelf ones are pretty much ones you purchase or license or lease, and then you have to do a lot of your own back office development of those. And Wade, you've been, you've now experienced several proprietary tools as well as some of the common off-the-shelf tools that are out there. And obviously the biggest thing is that on the proprietary tools, learning curves can be steep and learning curves can be a challenge. And, we've talked about sometimes multiple clicks to get to the same place or what have you. And they have their pros and their cons, but, for you, I'm not going to call you an old guy, but for a guy who, whereas technology grows, it really does become a challenge. Even when you are technologically savvy, it does become a challenge because the proprietary tools oftentimes are built to suit the individual client. And the challenges that exist are if you're not in that tool every day, all day, sometimes you're not getting that robustness. But talk a little bit about, you've worked with both of them. So talk a little bit about the pros and the cons on the challenges of using both tools.
Right. Well, you hit the nail on the head. And I think the biggest difference is the proprietary tools have, lots of bells and whistles, and whether or not those are used to their full capability, it depends on the user. Maybe a regular investigator may only use a certain percent, whereas if you have like a data guy who might get a little bit deeper into it. But it's, I liken it to like your phone. You have everybody has a phone now that is as powerful as the computers of the early 80s. Everybody has that in their pocket and they use about 10% of it probably. You use very few features of it. I think a lot of these tools are the same, where we don't use much more than we would on the Excel or whichever program you use. But there is there's a huge learning curve. And generally the companies that you're getting the tool from, that you're leasing it from or renting it from, whatever. They have training that they'll provide, but it's, in my opinion, I think it seems to be a little bit lacking. And you have to consider that these trainers have been working on the tool every day for years, probably. So it's second nature to them. You'd mentioned the user interface where they click, they might do 15 clicks to get you to a certain area. And it's like, how was I supposed to know that I needed to go that route to get to where I needed to go? So there's a bit of a learning curve there. And I also look at it kind of like, college level classes where you have your 100 to your 400 level classes. You can't just start off with a 300 or 400 level class. And I feel like sometimes that's the way this training is. There's an assumption that you don't need the real basic stuff. And again, depending on the experience of the investigator or the data analytics guy, maybe you need to start with that 100 class so you're not lost when you're looking at the 400 level class. But it's, a lot of it's just not very intuitive. So to a certain degree, you need some training, but you also have to really just poke around and do some trial and error to get the hang of what it is you're looking for. In contrast with a little bit simpler off the shelf, I think they tend to have a little bit more predefined workloads. With Excel or something similar to that, everybody probably knows how to do some pivot tables, although that's another, area that more experienced people probably are more experienced with that. But I think they tend to be, they have fewer bells and whistles, so I think they're just generally a little bit easier to use kind of out of the box or with some simple training, either videos or, reference materials. It's just a matter of is that tool, it's probably a simpler tool, but if you only need it to do a few things and it does those things, again, we've talked about this before, but you're paying all that extra money for the fancy tool. And if you're using 10% of it, you're probably wasting some money there as well.
Yeah, and I think the challenge is that the proprietary tool, as you said, may have a lot of features that you aren't using or don't need. The problem, though, becomes that you're paying for that for the most part, right? Because
Right.
you're getting a suite of things, and if you're not using it to its fullest extent, are you paying for things that you don't need? Whereas a lot of the off-the-shelf tools, you're kind of, paying for what you're using or what you're needing. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. What takes you 15 clicks may take a super user 4 clicks because they know some back way of getting to where they want to go. It's you the solution may come out to be the same solution. It's the path you take to get to that solution that may be the challenge. And then, Matt, that then gets you to a whole conversation involving opportunity cost and ROI, tangible and intangible, but also just the general time piece of it. The more features you start to incorporate into something that you're using, the more the challenges are going to be. Think about when you've got a car, your most, your 2026 model, it's all computers now. The days of you being able to just go in and kind of do a quick and dirty repair, right? Or just get to where you need to go or figure it out. There's a whole bunch of other things out there. It's no different, right? These tools present potential opportunity costs where the learning curve can be very high and ongoing, particularly when you've got a very, very complicated tool, regardless of what the vendor says. The vendor may say, this is a very easy tool to use. Well, it's easy for the people, right? I mean, driving a McLaren is very easy for professional car race, drivers, but a McLaren is probably very difficult for, the average driver to use. It's the same thing on any of these tools.
Yeah, let's break this down into what types of tools we're talking about. There's two major ones, a case management system and a data analytics tool. For case management, you've got to decide what is your goal in building or getting a case management system built for you? What do you want to track? What do you need to report on? And then you base your buying or your creating based on that. I mean, when I was with the UPIC, we had a self-created access database that worked for us because we created it with the reporting structure of CMS in mind. We made the fields, you know, this field has to be filled out because this goes on a monthly report to CMS and da 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 da. And we built it that way. And if CMS changed their requirements, it was very easy for us to change this off the shelf. It was, you know, Access database to create the reports and what they wanted. We then had UCM, which was a custom built, somewhat custom built. I think it was off the shelf and they tried to customize it. And it, if they had to make a change there because CMS made a change, sometimes it would take 3 or 3 to 6 months for them to make that change. And usually that affected other things that were being reported on because of the complex nature of how they built this thing. So it never really worked right. So there was lost time with that. For us, we were double entering the entire time. So it was lost resources there. So you've got to take those, you got to take your end goals into account when you were contemplating the tool that you need. Data analytics, somewhat the same. I mean, are your needs so simple in terms of leads that you can run it just by running a simple outlier report or doing statistical anomalies to find your leads? Or do you need complex modeling that's going to be, you know, adding AI and all that to it to come up with things? If that's what you want, you've got to be able to then either build it from an off the shelf or go to a proprietor that's going to be able to provide you just that. And you have to plan ahead so that you're not wasting the resources in anything. There's going to be some learning curve, but if you're building it, I think your learning curve is going to be less. There's going to be upfront costs for development, but in the end, that might be a better way as well, depending on your needs.
Yeah, and I think some of the question ultimately is, well, cost is always going to be probably the number one driving factor, sure, right? And some of these tools are very expensive. And what do you get with that expense? Are you getting access to the trainers whenever you need? Are you getting access to developers whenever you need? If reporting requirements change for your organization or reporting requirements change for the state that you're doing the work in, if you're a Medicaid provider or something like that, are you ultimately able to get those reports updated? Are you able to add fields in that you may need? You know, if beforehand you had 3 reports that you had to do and now you have 5 and there's additional data that has to be pulled in, are you able to get to that level of granularity? And a lot of times that does come with a cost, and cost isn't always financial. And I think, you know, where SIUs need to always think is, are your investigators spending more time trying to navigate than they are getting to the point, right? Because the point is resolution of a case and getting from point A to point B. Does your, for example, you know, even talking about your case manager, does your case manager just require the ability to input some fields of data, you know, dates, times, you know, whatever it may be, or does your case manager have a lot more things that you don't need? And if there are a lot of things in your case manager that you don't need, should you ultimately have to populate them? Because sometimes some of these tools won't let you get to the next screen unless you filled in what they're calling mandatory fields. But a mandatory field based upon the servicer of the tool may not be a mandatory field for you. If it's a field that's not needed, but the tool is telling you this is a mandatory field, well, you've now, you know, what if you don't capture that data, right? Now you have to go and start capturing data that you didn't need to capture before because the tool won't let you get to the next screen, right? It's like when you're on the web and you're making a purchase and it asks you for a phone number and you don't put in the phone number and it doesn't let you continue to your purchase because you've left. It's no different, right? And so you have to make sure that when you're using a tool of any sort, that the things that you need are there and the things that you don't need don't prevent you from getting past where you need. Because if it prevents you from getting past where you need, then you're a rock in a hard place. And if your investigators aren't capturing that information, it's going to be something that, you know, you've got to work through. I think the biggest challenge outside of that is also, are the reports that are being generated the right reports, or when those reports are being generated, are you then having to go in and massage them and do things to them? And then in that case, you know, then it's time for you to have a conversation with the supplier of your tool, because if you're paying for reports, but the reports aren't exactly how you need them, you know, now you're basically a belt and suspenders, right? You've got your report, but it's not how you need. And then the last piece of it is, when you get the reports, are they in a format that allows you to change them or add them in? Like, are you getting a report that comes out, for example, in an Excel spreadsheet, where if you had to add a column or delete a column, are you able to easily do that? You know, in some instances, the reports may come out, and it may come out as a PDF. Now, you can, with Excel, if you have structured columns, you can convert a PDF easily into Excel and then manipulate it. The problem is, you've now had to add in a step that you shouldn't have to do. And if you don't have fully structured data, that's going to present its own challenges. So, you know, these are questions when you are out vetting a tool. The questions that you should be posing are, here's what my reports are to look like. Does the tool provide these reports like this? And most of the time, if you're not in a tool already, it's probably a safe bet that you're probably creating some report that's based upon some manual inputs. And so the question becomes, does your tool get you these reports the way you need them? And when you are running your analytics for your case-related outliers on your proactive or your reactive data analytics, are you having to make 30 clicks? Is it taking into effect things beyond NCCI and MUE edits and things of that sort? You know, I've noticed that some plans really want very strong analytics and they want very basic case management. Other payers want very strong case managers and basic analytics. And then, you know, it's a little bit like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right? And then what do they kind of have that's in the middle? But the biggest thing is the learning curve so steep, and is the learning curve so ongoing that it presents this, you know, kind of a thing? So Wade, I want to give you the last licks on this. Bottom of the ninth, two outs, two men on base, don't strike out. Don't be like the New York Yankees, RIP for the season to the Yankees. But, you know, obviously, you know, when you're having to make a lot of clicks to get where you want to go, there's a level of frustration just on the clicks. And then when you've clicked as far as you need to go, and it still doesn't give you what you need, it's an even higher level of frustration. You know, if you had your top two or three, this is what I really want my tool to do. What are those top three things that you're looking for that tool to do? And let's say they can do it in three clicks. And so for without the number of clicks, what are the top three things when you're working on a case, what are the top three things you want answers to?
Well, I think in a case manager, I look at both situations, but in a case manager, Matt and I worked on a contract where we, and I think Matt, you did a lot of upgrades to our whole SharePoint system. And the fact that it's just familiar and I know exactly how to used it for years, just having that familiarity as opposed to learning a whole new system is one that's big. It's like, I don't know that there's anything needed that some of these case management tools have, which again are a lot of clicks and you're entering information that I don't know if we really need this information entered, that I don't know that those do anything that we need it to do that the SharePoint system that we used did. So that's one area. And I think in the other, which is more data analytics in that kind of field, is the ability to have like macros that you can see like the big picture for reporting, or if you have to present to, you know, upper management or a prosecutor, or whatever, you want to have that high level overview of stuff, but you also need to be able to drill down and see very specific claim by claim, line by line, without having to, you know, basically write code, or as Eric was saying, you know, 20 clicks will get you there. It shouldn't be 20 clicks. If you could do it in three, I'd be very happy with a three click procedure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's just part of the whole education process. When when a payer is looking to get a new tool or update a tool, this is part of that vetting process. Leadership needs to obviously speak to and get intrinsically involved in the discussions with the day-to-day users of the tool to say what works, what's not working, and then revisit that with your vendor. Particularly, you know, we've seen contracts where vendors are being paid a lot of money for the use of the tool. And look, a lot of these tools are worth that money. The big question is going to be, for that money, what am I getting, you know, as far as outside of the tool? Do I have access to speaking to the programmers, developers? You know, am I dealing with some regional sales rep, or am I dealing with a trainer directly? Like, you know, these are questions that you should ask. And whatever those answers are, you can use them as part of your actionable intelligence gathering, you know, along the way. So it's an important piece of the puzzle. Like I said, we've looked at off the shelf, we've looked at proprietary, you know, we have some strong feelings about both and different ways and different things that these tools do. But every plan's risk tolerance and budget is different, and everybody's decision making is going to be different. So, you know, just some tips and tricks and things to consider when you're looking at these tools. So, good stuff, Wade. We'll get you there. I know you're still on a flip phone. We're hopefully going to get you there, you know, someday. We have our fingers crossed. Matt still uses an abacus, so I mean, let that be what it is. And
you know, we're all just tools.
Exactly. So as always, guys, great catching up with you both. I'll have my flannel shirt or my plaid shirt next week and make sure that I'm in line with apparently the cult that we're now becoming here at Advise. So good seeing you guys as always. And to all of you out there tuning into the podcast, we appreciate you as always. Again, every Friday in your inbox, come join us. AdviseHealth.com. Get your newsletter emailed to you every week with a weekly podcast, as well as blogs and articles and things. We have a refreshed look to the newsletter. It's looking good. And we continue to work on providing you guys with great content each week. And until we see you on the next OIG Roundtable, have a great one.
Thank you.